I've listened to him much on recordings. I finally got to meet him, I guess, last week in Pensacola, a week or so back. Is it on? Somewhere. Well, the tie's better. Okay. Don't know how to turn it on. I don't know how to put it on. I mean, it's due to age, I guess, as he said it before. No, it was great to meet him, and I appreciate him. I appreciate his illustrations. They kind of hit on my family are farmers, and not really crop farmers, but animal farmers. And so I really relate to a lot of some of the things he's been saying. He's on the tapes as far as illustrations, so I appreciate that. Listened through several books with him. The one on Calvinism, the one he did on Cal was like a one-hour thing, and I took it to England, and I taught it to our people. I took five sessions to teach. I took every section, and he had so much in that second, there's no way I can. I talk fast, but I can't get all that in, so I broke it up a little bit. But your pastor's like my pastor. He tells you things even though you don't want to hear them. You have a pastor like that? Amen? And I'm sorry, I apologize early for this. I have a kind of a cough and something. I think it's this mold from Florida, mainly, that's got me. But you're forced to have a pastor like that that'll warn the sheep. Amen? And many pastors, they won't warn the sheep because they're worried about the wrong things. And so I appreciate what was said this morning. Helpful, very balanced. And very, very, I'm glad that you can do that. Well, let's turn, if you would, tonight to Isaiah 25 to begin with. And we've been in England 25 years, going on 20. March will be 25. I try to be honest about that. When it gets past 24 and a half, I just say 25. It's less words than saying 24 and a half. But all been by the grace of God. And I'm going to talk to you tonight a little bit tonight about extolling the Lord, lifting him up and exalting him. And it's hard for a missionary comes back. He's trying not to, he should be trying not to exalt himself and what he's done, but what God is doing and him. And it's kind of a fine line there, and you're kind of expected to sell yourself. Well, that's not me. Amen. When I try to do my presentations, I try to make sure that God's exalted. I probably put my people forward that are doing the work. So tonight I want to talk about that just a little bit. And very thankful what the Lord's doing, and just very thankful that I can be with you tonight and be here today. So let's turn to Isaiah 25, verse 1. And let's look here in verse 1 just for a second. I've got a lot of verses here, and I don't have a cheat sheet like your pastor had this morning. I wish I had a cheat sheet I could hand out. So I've written all these verses down, so I can just, some I'll quote to you, some I'll read to you. But in 25:1 says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And we could read on, but back in still in verse 1 says, O Lord, thou art my God. I'm not his, he's mine. Amen. I will exalt thee, not myself. I will praise thee and praise thy name, not mine. For thou hast done wonderful things. He's done wonderful things. You don't want to know about my name. I mean, people try to brag about their histories. And usually people look on Ancestry.com, they're looking either for horse thieves, pirates, or preachers. For some reason, the common ordinary man, they just don't want to hear about that guy. They want to know if some extreme thing on there, I guess due to human nature. But he's wonderful. I mean, he's done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old, not mine. I'm stupid. I get before God, I say, God, I'm ignorant. If you don't help me, this is going to be a total mess. And tonight, when I was preparing for tonight here, I said, Lord, if you don't feed your people, they're going to go hungry. If they're looking for something from me, then they're in trouble. And I don't want to do that. Thy counsel of old are faithfulness and truth. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 30 here. Psalm 30. And in England, I have to pronounce all my vowels and all my letters because... I'm from Missouri originally, and then lived in the South for about 9 years before I went to England. So that sometimes the lazy lip syndrome gets into place. So when I'm in England, I really over enunciate words, and they kind of make fun of me when I'm doing this number, trying to get all those letters out there. But the T's are especially hard. Amen. So you got to get the pronounce those. Psalm 30. And my people in England will tell you, I cannot talk and turn pages. So if I go silent, it's because I can't find my, if my lips are moving, I can't, my fingers don't work right, all right? So Psalm 30, verse 1 says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over. Let's read that again. I will extol thee, O Lord. That means to exalt. For thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the night. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the good lessons this morning were taught. I appreciate all those that were given to us today and the good fellowship this afternoon and this very great opportunity, Lord, to speak to your people tonight. Pray God you'd bless them. Pray God you'd take over, you teach them and let them see what you want them to see. Use me tonight, Father. That's the greatest blessing I could get tonight is be used of you to try to help your people and to feed your sheep a little bit here and there. So I pray, God, you'd be in this tonight, Lord. Pray your Holy Spirit to fill me and guide and direct me. And the Lord, same with your people as they listen tonight, Lord, that you would help them and encourage them to do what they need with the message. You'd fill them as well, Lord, to be accept what you have for them. And Lord, if I say something that want to say something that you don't want me to say, then help me to forget it, Father, I ask. And if there's something I don't want to say, but you want me to say, Father, have it come out my mouth. Lord, it's for you and according to your will tonight. May you bless my voice and help me with what needs to be done here tonight. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To extol means to raise, raise the words of eulogy sometimes, to praise, to exalt, a commendation, to magnify, amen, to lift somebody up, to make great representations. And in plainer terms is put God in his proper place and put man down in his proper place, amen. Lift him up and you got to go down. And probably most people today they don't want to extol God, amen. And here's a few reasons why I think that is. Turn with me over to 3 John, how you want to say that. Brits say it all different and I get my terminology all mixed up, so the third short book of John at the back, if you would. And sometimes one place we say 1 John and some place we say 1 John. And right now I have no idea which one's which. I haven't been back long enough, just long enough to get confused. That's where I'm at right now. So 3 John, if you would, please. And let's look here. And there's a reason why men have trouble sometimes exalting God. And folks, if you want peace with God and you want God to work in your life, you have to lift him up and put yourself down. And one thing human nature does not like is putting yourself down. Now, I'm not saying over-ridicule yourself, but hey, listen, if you look at yourself realistically, it's not going to be too hard to put you in your right place, amen? And you can say, well, you know, I'm not all that bad. Let's talk to your mother about that for a minute, yeah. Amen? Or how about your wife or your husband, amen? And see, we like to overemphasize our good points as in human nature and play down our bad points. I'm not saying confess your sin to the world. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying you have to have a proper perspective of yourself. If you're going to exalt God and get God involved in your life and blessings from God, you are going to have to look at yourself in a realistic way. I can tell you right now, all the good that's going on in England is because of Jesus Christ. I have no problem saying that whatsoever because I realize that if it was just what I did, I wouldn't even be there anymore. Amen? God's done it. And whatever good is in your life, give God credit for. And whatever went bad, you blame yourself for it. Amen? Or somebody else. But can't blame God for it. And here, 3 John, verse 9, it says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, I don't have to read the rest of it there, but it said he won the preeminence. Now, the reason why a lot of times it's hard for us to extol God or for people to extol God is because they want the preeminence. They don't want to say, they want to think, they got this, it's called pride. You ever heard of that? And it's exalted in our society. The Bible not one time speaks good about pride. But our society says, have pride in your school, have pride in this, have pride in that. Pride's what got you in trouble. Pride's what got the devil in trouble. And you've got to put that down. And if you're going to extol God, because they're too busy. A lot of Christians are too busy extolling other things, so they don't have time to extol God. They have too much time extolling themselves, as we've spoke of. Extolling the church. The church is a great organization, but it's because of Jesus Christ there's a church. Amen. And don't get me started on Baptist. Baptists like to extol themselves. They like to extol the Baptist name. And I tell people, I'm glad I'm a Baptist. Okay? I'm glad I am. But when the Baptist church splits from this book, I split from the Baptist. And I tell you, I'm from Springfield, Missouri. The Baptist bride haven of the world, most likely, if it's not just down the road. One of the two. The thing is that, you know, when you talk like this, talk down Baptist, you're automatically on the blacklist. Listen, Baptists are sinners. I'm one of them, okay? You have to put that in a proper perspective. You can't extol God if your mind is in some other place. So if I haven't lost you by now on that one, you got to extol the Lord, amen? And you've got to praise him. You've got to give him the... And I'm not talking about... You don't have any chandeliers, do you? I can't say that. You can't. It doesn't mean jump in pews and, hey, that's what you do. And go for it, okay? That's not the only way to extol the Lord. And some people substitute extolling the Lord like that, and it's not from the heart. Sometimes it is, okay? But sometimes it's not. And you've got to get that in a proper perspective. Proper perspective. Now, men extol things that a lot of times that are not good. They'll extol football or soccer or cars or their favorite. A lot of men will exalt their favorite sin, the filth of the world, pride. They exalt things that shouldn't be exalted. They exalt the ability to lie and to do things. I mean, they exalt people like Stephen Hawking. You know, he became a Bible believer the other day. Yeah, as soon as he hit hell, he became a Bible believer. Amen. And so, sorry to say, his pride kept him from accepting Christ as his Savior. Amen. And that's exactly where he went. He was a God-denying, whatever you want to put in the blank. Okay. Exalt Darwin, exalt new Bibles. Like the brother was saying this morning about the new Bibles, he said they're more worried about sales than souls. Amen. I wrote that down. They're not really interested in true revival. You exalt God, and you're going to have a revival. I'm not saying a national revival, but nothing else. You have a revival within yourself. It's got to start with one, amen? And you can. I believe you can have local revivals and a church revival. I think this country's shot. I don't think there's much hope for it at all. I really don't. You say why? Because they're too busy exalting filth than they are exalting God. Okay, that's my personal opinion or why, but that's what it is. Now, what men will extol, they're good. They extol being a good mother, a good wife. That's a good thing. They'll exalt a good father, a good husband in a lot of cases. Hard work. What men exalt their wives for is not overspending. Not being a gossip. Not being a busybody. Amen. Keeping a clean house. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. Exalting people and giving them thanks for that. Taking good care of the children. Being a good cook or trying to be a good cook. Hey, man, you don't want to eat my cooking. I'm glad my wife's a good cook because I'd be definitely in bad shape. Taking good care of him. Taking good care of herself. Women exalt their husbands for as being a good provider, a good worker. There is a thing in the Bible that says if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Amen. And that's not really a popular thing in some areas, but that's what it is. I don't mean exalting, extolling something. And we're going to get to the Lord here in just a second. Being a good protector. Amen. I mean, when something goes bump in the night, man, do you send your wife downstairs to check it out? I got a better one than that. When the JWs knock on your door, do you say, honey, I think it's for you? Or do you go take care of yourself? I don't like JWs at my door, but, you know. Being a good man, faithful to her. Amen. And keeping clean around the house. I always throw in here about keeping your socks off the floor. That seems to be a real winner with the women sometimes. Somebody she can lean on. You know, when everybody else is talking about her and gossiping, it's just somebody you can lean on. That's something that they'll extol for. And I heard men extol their wives and wives extol their husbands and great military leaders extolled for their service and things and humanitarians and philanthropists and I even heard of several in England. You hear a lot about how good animals are because they're big animal people, and they exalt animals for saving somebody's life or doing this or doing that type thing. But tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to try to extol the Lord. Amen. and encourage you to do so. Go back there to Psalm 30 and verse 1, if you could, please. Psalm 30 and verse 1. Now, I have a lot here tonight, and the preacher only gave me 3 hours to do it, so I'm going to have to rush through this. So I didn't get any laughs on that one, preacher. That was, they already got plans, right? That's what I say, yeah. They're reaching for their keys. About where my keys at about that time? 30 verse 1 of Psalm 30 says this: I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. You realize if God allowed your foes to rejoice over you, where you'd be right now? I mean, if the Lord allowed your enemies, the enemies of God, to do what they want to do, I mean, they do more than what they've done so far. And, you know, there's some people that know some stuff about you that you don't want nobody to know about. Hey, a person in this room doesn't have something like that going on. Amen? And the Lord keeps that down and keeps it under so you can serve him. Amen? You should extol him for that. You should get behind closed doors if you have to and just shout to the heavens saying, God, thank you. Amen? You extol him. I'm trying to give you some reasons to extol him tonight, okay? Ahithophel had a humanistic reason to go against Absalom, against David. I mean, Bathsheba was his granddaughter. And he turned and went with Absalom when Absalom rebelled against went out against David. You know, you have some reason to extol God, amen? We won't go to it, but Psalm 40, verses 1 to 5, talks about how he brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Lord took you out of hell, if you're saved here tonight, and he got you out of this filthy world, amen? Now, so the old flesh likes to go back a sow to the wallowing and a dog to its vomit. That's what the Bible says. It says as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That's when that old flesh tries to draw you back to the world. Amen. You ever see a dog do that? I'm talking Bible tonight, okay? I don't want you to have to see your lunch again here in a moment, but that's what a dog does. I was at my sister's house the other day, and dog got sick, right? And guess what he did? Yeah, he did. Because he's a dog. You're supposed to be saved, amen? And to know better. You say, well, that's just gross. Well, you think it's pretty gross to God when you return to the sin he took you out of, amen? You should extol him, amen? And ask for his help and his grace and thank him, amen? Thank him. He saved me to heaven in a new life. He set my feet on a rock, it says here in Psalm 40. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says that rock was Jesus, amen? That's where he put your foot. He put you someplace solid, not in the quicksand anymore. I thank God for that. I thank God for giving me a new life. I didn't get saved until I was 17. And I thank God for a new life, amen? And thank him. You know, when you start thinking, and I don't care what kind of day you're having. I mean, it might be the worst day of your life. But you start thanking God and praising God for the bad. You're supposed to be thankful. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, even that? Yeah, even that. If you can, it's good to thank God for the good times. But when you thank God for something you don't like, God likes that. God likes that. You don't believe me? Try it. I mean, it'll change your bad day into a good one. You start praising God for what happened that you don't like. I don't care what it is. And I know some terrible things can happen. I'm not saying, but I'm telling you, you're supposed to give thanks and everything. God likes that. Extol him. Amen. Extol the rock. Amen. He's the rock. Turn to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. And I don't want to bring a downer to you tonight, but I'm just saying you need to extol him, because if you'll thank God and extol him in good times and in bad times, the Lord dislikes that. And the Lord deserves that. Don't you think the Lord deserves that? Do you think it was a surprise to him that you had that flat tire? And I don't want a flat tire. I'm not going back. It's a long way in the dark. But you know, you think that came as a surprise to him? Not whatsoever. He's like watching you saying, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to see what their reaction is to this. And sometimes you do when you got lost people around you. to see how you're gonna exalt him, you're gonna praise him for that. And I know there's some terrible things that can happen. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. I believe it's verse 4. I want to look at it for a second here. You should exalt him because he lifted you up, it says in Psalm 30, verse 1. Amen. 32:4 says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Just and right is he. That means no wrong. No wrong. He established my goings, it says in Psalm 40, verse 2 there. And he set me free from sin. It says Romans chapter 6 there, the 6 and 7 through there. Took you out of miry clay. He established my goings, it says. Now Proverbs 12, verse 3 says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Amen. He said, you're not going to be established by wickedness, and God established you. You can exalt God for that. Exalt him for that. Psalm 40 again says, he gave me a new song. You know, I love to see God's greatness. In his book, God exalting himself. That's one of the greatest blessings I've received from memorizing scripture. It's the fact you start memorizing that scripture, you start breaking it down, and you have to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it after a little bit. I've had some of the biggest blessings of my life by myself, walking around my map, memorizing scripture, and the Lord starts sinking that book in me because I memorize it, and I don't just have it up here. When you start, you can memorize it up here, but the more you go over it and the more you think about it, it sinks right down into here, amen? And that is when it gets good, amen? I've seen people take the Bible, just use it as a whipping post on people. Just quote scripture at people. Not trying to help them. Just to show how spiritual they are. When you start memorizing that book and it starts sinking down in here, I'm telling you, that's when you start to fellowship with the Lord, amen? That's you're meditating on the word. David said he did it all the time. And that's what's good, amen? It helps you out. Now, I can see God exalt himself and good. And I like to see God's greatness in his book. I like to see God's greatness in his creation. Sometimes I've seen some pictures and stuff of that, what's it called, the Hubble telescope? Is that what it's called? Hubble? That's what they call it. Anyway, and he said you see the finger of God, you know, and the eye of God. I guess it's real. I don't know. It was on the internet, so it must be true, right? When you start looking at those things and see what God did, and the it's just, I get a blessing out of it, amen? And I exalt him, exalt him. I like to see God's greatness when he works through someone as worthless as me, amen? That's what I like to see. That's probably the biggest blessing, amen? To see God do something, lead somebody to Christ, help somebody with the Bible, or encourage somebody in the Lord. That's a great encouragement to me. And I definitely it excites me to extol him, to lift him up. Amen. You ever just do that? Have you ever just taken some time instead of asking? I know you need to pray. You ever just taken the time just to praise God and exalt him and tell him how wonderful he is, how great he is, how kind he is, how gentle he is, how merciful. Just go through his attributes. Amen. Before too long, you're going to get a feeling. You want a feeling in your Christianity, amen? Start exalting God and tell him how good he is. Just tell him how good he is. And Nahum says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth then the trust in him, amen? You just start telling him how good he is, and you'll get a feeling, amen? All the denominations want to get a feeling. That's how to get a feeling, amen? Get a feeling. Let's tell God how good he is. I'll tell you one thing to give you a feeling too. Get out on a street corner someplace and tell other people that don't want to hear it how good he is. Lord, do something for you. Amen. So I'm just so down. And I know some bad things happen on this earth. I'm not downplaying that, okay? But I'm telling you, you start exalting God and lifting him up and extolling him, and you'll get a feeling, amen. God, make sure you get one of those, amen. So, we should extol him because he lifted us up. Amen. He lifted us up. If you happen to know, there's only two pages here. Okay, there's just two. You know. I feel like coming out, you know, like the old printers have the paper that kind of, you know, stack out like that. And just, I said, no, I better not do that. Another one is you should extol him and exalt him because he protects you. He keeps us. Amen. Over there in Exodus 14, he says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you see them again no more forever." Then it goes on in verse 14 and says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Amen. That's tough about wanting to justify yourself. And man, it's just so much of a human nature thing. You want to go out and just justify yourself and justify yourself. And you know what you need to do sometimes? Just shut your mouth. Say, "God, fight for me on this. I want you to fight for me on this." Because what you do is you just dig a bigger hole. And you give your enemy more ammunition. The more you open your mouth, most of the time, the bigger the hole you dig. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." That's Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. Exalt, he protects you. Amen. He keeps us saved. Amen. John chapter 10, he said, "He's my hand inside the Father's hand," and he said, "No man can pluck you out of my Father's hand." Amen. That's a promise. In eternal security. He said in John chapter 6, verse 37, he says, "All that come unto me, I'll no wise cast out." Isn't that comforting? I mean, because I deserve to be cast out. About you? You find people here tonight. But I deserve to be cast out. Probably at least twice a day. Probably since the 18th of April, 1982, I probably at least need to be cast out at least two or three times a day. Because he's holy, and I'm not. I'm not. So we got to exalt him, tell him how good he is. I'd be lost in hell tonight if it wasn't for him. Amen. Excuse me, I'm getting a little bit of trouble here. All right, let's go. Now I won't turn them, but in Psalm chapter 30, verse 10, it says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my help." That's Psalm 30. I'm trying to quote some to you, so it won't take as long here. But it says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper." You ever been there? Lord, have mercy, and Lord, I need some help. I need some help. Remember, Doctor, I'm getting an illustration years ago about a little boy who got in trouble with his mother, and it's one of those things, wait till your father gets home. And so he goes and hides under the bed, and the father comes in there, you know, and looking for him, looks under the bed, he crawls under the bed to get him, and the boy said, "Daddy, is mommy after you too?" Sometimes it's kind of the story, but I remember one of the time when Dr. Ruckman said he got hit by a train. He was driving a paint truck, an old beat-up truck, and he was trying to get across railroad tracks, and he came up to it, and he saw the train coming. Should have been a good indication to stop. There wasn't. And he saw the train probably about where that wall is down there, and he stepped on it hard, thinking that this van was running properly. It did. He went with chug, chug, chug type things before it took off. About the time he got to the middle of the track, he got hit by the choo-choo train. And he remembered an illustration from a long time ago. It was about a little boy about to get in trouble with his mom or something. And the little boy said, "Lord," he said, "my Sunday school teacher says you like to help little boys in trouble. Well, here's a good opportunity." And that's what he said when the train was coming. "Lord, here's a good opportunity to help somebody get in trouble here." And sometimes it's not so much physical, but this world's a dark place. And remember hearing years ago somebody saying, you know, there's tigers out there. Amen. We should be in here exalting God and helping one another. Out there is trouble out there, amen. It's getting darker all the time. And he's a helper, amen. "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper." Can't you exalt him and thank him for the times he's bailed you out, amen? I bet you could if you thought long enough. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." A lot of trouble you and I get into as Christians, if we just pray in the book, we wouldn't have been there, amen. You can thank him for that. Another thing to extol him for is for his holiness. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Amen. When I say his holiness, I don't mean the Pope either, okay? I'm talking about his holiness. And extol him for being a perfect God with a perfect book. Amen. And someday have a perfect church. Someday we'll be there, we'll be perfect like him. Pure, he's perfect, no sin nature, no sin in his life, And it said in Deuteronomy 32, just and right is he. Exalt him. Amen. Exalt him. Magnify him. Extol him. The Bible says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Exalt him. And I would say, the message, and there's nobody like him. Can't you thank him for that? I'm not saying you don't. I'm just trying to encourage you to continue to do so. But there's nobody like him. There's no friend like him. And, there's nobody that's going to match him. In good times or bad times, whether you're in danger or not in danger physically, there's nobody like him. Amen. You'll never find anybody like the Lord Jesus Christ. I highly recommend him. Amen. And he'll be the best friend you ever had if you let him. Amen. If you let him. All right, another thing, let us extol him for through praise. Amen. The Bible says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Lift it up. Amen. You should be able to do that. And so I don't know what the world does. The world beats you down with a big stick. That's what it does. It's all the time something next. It's if it's not the car, it's something at the house, it's the boss, it's something going on in the home. Something is always trying to beat you down to get your mind off how good he is. Amen. Trying to get your mind in a different direction. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so in Psalm 107. The Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Amen. Exalt him, praise him for his redemption, for his goodness, for his wonderful works, for his goodness, gentleness, long-suffering. That's one of the ones I like the most about God. He was preaching somebody was talking about long-suffering. And that I really like that about the Lord. Amen. I like that long suffering, putting up with me, and still being a good father and correcting me. Amen. Not just let me go. Psalm 107 verse 33 says, he turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. He makes the floods and he causes the droughts. And his power, praise him for his power. He has power on these things. We were coming from Springfield down into Arkansas the other day. And as we crossed the state line from southwest Missouri to northwest Arkansas, the rains were coming. There was water flooded across the road, tree limbs in the road, and it was just scary. Amen. When God gets to stirring, he gets scary. You know, he's, so remember him on that one. Remember for his power. There's no God like our God. Deuteronomy 7 says, thou shalt not be affrighted at them, talking about the enemy, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Now, we don't think about God in the world terrible today. We think that's a bad word, but God's terrible. I mean, you talk about mighty and powerful, and not terrible as in being bad to us. He's just got that kind of a aura about it, if you want to put it that way, and he's a mighty God and terrible. He's got power. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting, the Bible says. He is near that justifieth me. Back in Isaiah chapter 50, and it looks like to me it's a prophecy of what happened the night before the crucifixion. There in Isaiah 50, it says here, it's like a prophecy of Christ speaking to the devil himself, saying, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Here is a God in the flesh telling the devil to bring it on. That's some power. That's something you say, out of my league. Amen. Thank God he's on my side. And you can extol him for that. Extol him through this for his power. As I close here tonight, you can extol him here tonight through true honest humility before him. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God. And the big phrase today is, everybody wants to say, oh my God. You hear that all the time. OMG or whatever. There's several places in the Bible where the Bible says, oh my God. Amen. And it's coming because you're saying like, Lord, I need some help. Amen. And you're talking about the power of God. John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And whosoever shall be abased and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He'll exalt you in due time. So you can humble yours when you exalt, when you humble yourself to exalt Him. He likes that. Amen. He likes that. You should do that. Why? I'm not saying you are, but if you don't, why are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? Why won't you exalt Him, even in individually or in public? Amen. I mean, He is well. I'm not saying you are, but there are people that are. And I'll say this, the best way to extol Him is through obedience. Amen. When you obey, that shows you're putting yourself under His authority. And probably all here saved here tonight, but one of the greatest ways you can exalt Him is by trusting Christ as your Savior. Amen. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, in Acts 4:12. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can exalt Him by admitting, I can't do this. I can't get myself to heaven. And religious people are very bad about putting their works above God's, adding something to what Christ has already done. And the best way to exalt Him and extol Him, if you're lost here tonight, is to say, I can't do this. I'm taking you as my only Savior. And I say that, and when I deal with people in England, I make it very clear to them that there is one Savior. The Hindus have a million gods, and they get saved when I put Jesus on the shelf with the other ones. He's the only Savior. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing anybody else has ever been able to do that can get you to heaven without Jesus Christ. Amen. So I encourage you tonight to extol the Lord. Lift Him up at work, at home, at church, driving down the road, privately, publicly. Exalt Him. He likes that. Amen. And you want to get God on your side? You want to get God to smile your direction? Extol Him. Amen. And receive Him. Brother, I'll let you on. Come on, Brother.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord for that. And